what I want to talk about today, first day Pastor gave me a chance to speak, and like he's saying, just pray for me as I'm trying to get out there and evangelize and speak revivals. Closer I get to retirement, that's something I feel like God just put on my heart to try to do and try to minister to, and He's made that available, the opportunity. But if you get your Bibles today and turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 44, I'll give you a chance to get there. But I had come to this here a while back in Matthew 12, verse 44. We'll look there a second at a verse. But I want to talk about satisfying the deepest need. I mean, there's a deep need in the world today. And there's just such a big burden out there. People are dying, and you know, there's things going on in the world that the people are searching for satisfaction. They're unsatisfied. And you try to share things with them. You try to share how can you satisfy that deepest need. And what had come to me here a while back, and it was interesting, was I had been asked to preach a funeral here a while back this year. And when I was riding to the graveside, I got a chance to talk to the funeral director. And dummy me, I started asking about the different religions, different denominations. So we're talking about, you know, I don't know about you, and I'm sure a lot of you in here have been to different funerals over the years, but when you talk to a funeral director, you don't really realize what goes on sometimes at a funeral. There's a lot of different beliefs and a lot of different things out there. And I was asking him about, well, you know, what do you know how to do, and how do you talk to him sometimes, and what do you say, and how do you satisfy? And he said, well, he told his son was getting ready to take over. And he said, I told him we've got to get it right one time, because they're only going to get one shot at this. So he said, I got to get it right one time. And it stuck in me. As we were riding out there, I thought, well, you know, his heart's right. So we were riding out the cemetery there, and we got out to the graveside and got done. And when I got done, there was this little elderly lady. She had been in the services, and the family had asked me to preach salvation. I'm sure Pastor could attest to this, that a lot of times family members will want you to do that. But now, when you do that, you're going to step on some toes. They're there to hear some good words. They're there to hear some things that, you know, well, he was a good man, he was a good woman. They didn't want to hear hell and salvation and things. So, you know, it goes hand in hand with it. But what got me with the whole situation, after talking to him on the way out there, and when I got done, we got done at the graveside and dismissed, we prayed and got done, and she walked up by, and he's helping her by, and she goes, is that it? Is that all there was? And I thought, Lord, there's a message. That'll preach. So I struggled with that for a while. The Lord, did we miss the mark? And I thought of what He said. No, you just try to satisfy Him best that you can. And I'd come across this verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse 44. If you look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 44, it says, then He saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when He has come, He findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Let's pray. Father, we just give You thanks for the day we can be here. We just give You thanks for the words that we heard this morning from Pastor and the encouragement. I give You thanks for the good spirit that we have in our church, Father, just the many blessings we have. Father, I just ask You to be with us now this afternoon. Just open our hearts to the Word. Just lead and guide that one that may not know Christ as Savior. Let us take this out and share with those that don't know Christ as Savior. As Christians, we should be. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 12:44. Yeah, I come across that and I thought, boy, that's pretty hard. When you look at that. And it's dealing with that empty heart. And that empty heart reminded me of the lady at the graveside. Is that all there is? We're living in a lost world, people, that's just got the same mentality. Is that all there is? It's empty, swept, and garnished. If you think about that, how a lot of the world will try to repent, a lot of the world will try to change, a lot of the world will try to do it their way. Make things right, make things satisfied within their families, in their wives, husbands, relationships, family members, job, everything. They'll try to make it right. But if we look at 12:44, it says it's just like the empty room that you left. When you return, it's empty, it's swept, it's garnished. See, it looks clean. It's like over at Junior Church, man. We'll go over there, Brother Chris. We'll have a big time, but we'll clean it up. We'll get it ready for the next go around. You can walk right in, never told nothing happened. And if you go on and read right there, Jesus tells them about them same demons are going to come right back in. It's going to be worse than what they was, and nothing's changed. So the peril of an empty heart is something we've really, really got to ask ourselves. And that deals with our salvation. As we go through this today, I want to share 5 points with you on satisfying your deepest need. Everybody in here, if you're telling me you're saved, you're washed in the blood, the death, burial, resurrection, salvation by grace through faith, then you shouldn't have a problem satisfying the deepest need. There's no reason for you to have trouble. Now, if you're unsaved and lost, this may hit home. Teenagers, this may hit home. You may share a lot of people. This young people today face a lot of trials and troubles out there. They're all satisfying for something, trying to find the deepest need, trying to fit in. You can probably relate to a family member, a loved one, or someone out there you know that's struggling right now. It could be alcohol. It could be anything. It could be drugs. It could be anything. It could be anger. It could be anything. But they're struggling with a deep need. They're trying to find it. And the world is trying to satisfy that need. Therefore, that's got to be the lost. But as Christians, we know one thing. You can repent. You can change. You can do. You can try to satisfy everything you want to be. And that heart's still going to be empty, swept, and garnished. It's going to be empty, swept, and garnished. And only Jesus can clean that heart up. Only Jesus Christ can clean that heart up, and He's going to satisfy you. He's going to satisfy your every need. He's going to satisfy everything you're desiring, everything you're struggling with. So think about today, as I go through this, and ask yourself, am I saved? Do I truly know that I'm saved? Do I know that through these 5 points that Brother Mike gives me, can I satisfy my deepest need? I should, according to Scripture. And if not, I'm not challenging your salvation. But, you know, maybe you and the Lord need to do some business. Maybe there's something in that area of your life that you're lacking there. But in Matthew 12:44, we come to a point in the Scriptures there where some of the commentaries talk about how Jesus had got frustrated with the Jews at this point. He'd give it to them, give it to them, give it to them, give it to them, give them salvation, give them Him, give them the chance for salvation, what He'd come for. And He's finally moving on to the Gentile. So what He's kind of laying to them here is a picture. And if you could picture this Pharisee, he's a fine-looking Pharisee. He's all garnished and fixed out. He's definitely swept and kept. And he's empty. And he's still a Pharisee. I ask you, is that you today? Is that you? Are you saved? Or are you kind of like that Pharisee? Is there a shell there where it's just empty, swept, and garnished? And that's what Jesus said. I'm trying to move on. John 15, verse 11. One of the first points I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you 5 points today. And I want you to ask yourself if these will satisfy my deepest need. But in John 15, verse 11, Jesus is talking here, and He tells them. He's talking about the joy. He's talking about His joy. And He says in 15:11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." First thing to satisfy your deepest need, Christian, is the fullness of joy. Do you have the fullness of joy? Do you have the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you have the ascension of Christ? Do you have the right hand of the throne of the Father? Do you have that union? That's a union that we all have right here. If you're in here and you're saved, you've got a union with Jesus Christ. That's the joy He was telling you about. He went to the cross in death, pain, and anger, but it was joy. That's what Scripture tells us.
That's right.
But He did that so it could abide in you. Look at that verse. That your joy might be full. The fullness of joy. Do you have that fullness of joy as a Christian? Are you abiding in Christ daily? Are you abiding in the Word? Do you have fruit? You know, there's a thing about union and abiding sometimes. I think people have a union a lot. There's a lot of us in here have a union. But are we abiding?
Yeah.
Are we abiding daily? Do we have the faith? Do we have the growth? Do we have the prayer? Do we have the things that are going to help us have that fullness of joy? Now, what I'm saying is, if you're a Christian, you're saved, guess what? You have that. I've got it. Pastor's got it. Miss Skidmore's got it. Scott, you all have a fullness of joy.
Right.
It's not anything we all got to buy, barter, or take. So if you got saved, guess what, brother? According to 15:11, you got it. You got the union. Maybe you got that part right, but the abiding part, maybe that's where you're struggling a little bit. Do you want to satisfy that deepest need? Do you have a fullness of joy? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 is another one you might jot down. That's dealing with Christ's joy. Let's look there real quick. In Hebrews 12, 2. Hebrews 12, 2 tells us, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." There's that joy of Jesus there. He had to endure the suffering, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The fullness of joy is the sacrifice that Jesus made. That's the death, burial, resurrection. But are you abiding? Are you abiding in that death, burial, and resurrection daily? If you are, You're going to have the fullness of joy. If you're claiming to raise your hand and be a Christian, guess what? You have the fullness of joy. You don't need something to make you sleep. You don't need something to read. You don't need something to go to a shrink for to get, because you have the fullness of joy. Your satisfaction of the deepest need should be the fact that you have the fullness of joy. You're a Christian. You're a saved person. You're satisfied. Say it with me. We should be. We should be. The lost, they're unsatisfied. The lost, you know, one thing about the lost is, and I think about back when I was unsaved and stuff, there's this endless toil. There's this endless toil. The world out there now is just fighting and struggling and trying to find it. You look at people on Facebook sometimes. You look at them on these talk shows sometimes. Everybody's got something they're struggling with. Everybody's telling something they're dealing with. Everybody's boo-hoo, oh me. Well, give me a break. If you're a Christian, you've got a fullness of joy. You've got it. Number two, how about a fullness of blessing? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Many of us know this. Pastors preach this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. He gives it to you pretty plain. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Are you saved? Yeah. Do you have a fullness of blessing? Yeah. It's all in there. When I got saved, I got it. When Pastor got saved, he got it. When Chris got saved, he got it. So, Chris, you got a fullness of blessing. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you look in that verse, Scripture says, fill mine up first. Now, it talks about flowing over, and everybody was here smiling, oh, yeah, I want blessing. I want it running over. Well, guess what? Fill God's up first. And that verse doesn't say, fill the glass up sloppy and run the glass over. That verse says, fill it up right up to the top. Fill up God's blessing right up to the top. Then what does God say He'll do? He'll run it over. He'll flow it out. He'll let it spill out, but fill His up right up to the top. You know, the thing of it is, we think of it as Christians like, well, I don't know if I can do that. Phyllis and I was talking lunch today about a few things there, and I was like, well, you got to take it by faith. That's all you can do. But you got to think of the fullness of blessing you're going to get. Matthew 6:33, when it comes to talking about blessing, He tells us plainly there, fill me first. Fill me first and see if I don't fill you. But Christian, guess what? It's not an option. It's not something that I get after I'm saved. It's because you got it when you got saved. The world's out there right now. The lost is out there right now. The lost doesn't have a prayer. That endless, aimless toil is going on. And the thing is, when it comes to blessing, the world's overdrawn. And is the world going to get restocked? No. Are you all in here saying you're getting restocked? Yes. Were you in here this morning? Yes. Were you in here Wednesday night? Yes. Were you getting restocked? Yes. Young people, get restocked. The world can't supply it. Trust me. They're not going to give it to you. They're not going to give it to you. So as a Christian, you've got a fullness of joy. You've got a fullness of blessing. I'm sorry that you didn't know you were getting it, but if you got saved, you got it. It's there. You got it. Every one of us got it. Every one of us got it. Matthew 6:33 tells about that. I like the next one here. So, number one, fullness of joy. Number two, fullness of blessing. We're going to satisfy our deepest needs as Christians. We're going to be a witness now. We're not going to let the world and the lost take care of things. Number three is the fullness of wisdom. The fullness of wisdom. Why are you here on Wednesday nights? You're getting wisdom from Pastor and Pastor Tim. Why are you here on Sunday mornings? You're getting wisdom. Why are you in Sunday school? You're getting wisdom. However, if we look at Colossians 1, verse 9, Colossians 1, 9 was Paul talking to the church. He was dealing with the church. He was dealing with different things going on in the church, as Pastor shared with us before. Then Colossians 1, 9, like they were in Corinthians, Colossians 1, 9, he's talking to the church. He's praying for the church. He's praying for the church. Now, Christian, y'all got your Bibles in here. Some of you's got them open. Some of you's studying. Guess what? You've got a fullness of wisdom. It's your choice. Do you all have a Bible? Yeah. Do you have access to a Bible? Yeah. Do you have access to church? Yeah. Do you have access to preaching? Yeah. Get off of it, Brother Mike. Well, take it up with God. You've got a fullness of wisdom. You've got a fullness of joy. You've got a fullness of blessing. And right now, you've got a fullness of wisdom. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It don't just say some of it. What does it say? All wisdom. I pray for you. I pray for that you desire. Do you desire it? Sure you do. If you're a Christian, you'll desire it. Paul had to ask. What'd Solomon do? Solomon said, well, give me just a portion. And look what he got. Now, we know what happened to Solomon later in his life. But the thing is, as a Christian, you've got a fullness of wisdom. Do you pray in the Word? Do you read the Word? Do you share in the Word? Do you witness the Word? You should. Because guess what? When you got saved, you got a fullness of wisdom. You got a portion of it. You got what pastors got. We sit around sometimes, the men and I, we used to talk about pastor and his message. Guess what, Brian? We got the same thing he got. May not have the same talent, but I got the same Word. I got the same Scripture. I got the same Bible. I got the same Savior. I got the same Trinity. I've got everything he got. So I've got the fullness of wisdom. The thing is what am I doing with it? Am I reading? Am I praying with it? Am I asking God? God, just give me a portion. James chapter 1, verse 5, if you write that one down, that tells us, ask me. God says, ask me. Don't just assume. Don't just show up. You know, you wonder sometimes how people struggle out there and trying to satisfy those needs when they don't have a clue what's going on. They don't have a clue. But if you're saved, you're sitting in here, you've got a clue right now. What you do in the ministry, what I do in the ministry, what everyone else does in the ministry, and the things that go on could be different for each and every one of us. But the thing is, we still have the same fullness of the wisdom. It's there. Do you know how you got saved? Yeah. Do you know how you got baptized? Yeah. Do you know how to pray? Yeah. So you got the same fullness of wisdom that I did. Fullness of joy, fullness of blessing, and fullness of wisdom. The one I love the best is in Ephesians. You're in Colossians. Turn to Ephesians 3, verse 19. We'll take a quick look there. In Ephesians 3:19, this pretty well brings a lot of it into perspective for us as Christians. If you want to be satisfied, if you're unsatisfied, there's no reason you should be. You should be satisfied. If you're a Christian, you're saved, you should be satisfied. There's no reason that you should be unsatisfied. I'm not saying you don't have things going on in your life daily, but however, what I'm sharing with you is that what the Bible tells you right now as a Christian, how to satisfy those problems and needs. This is what it's telling you. Fullness of joy, fullness of blessing, fullness of wisdom. Ephesians 3:19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Buddha, Allah, Joel Osteen. Go down the list. Think of what Pastor said about TV. No, it says the fullness of God. If you're in here and you're a Christian, guess what? You've got a fullness of God. Well, yeah, I got saved, Brother Mike. No, you didn't. That's a believer's state. That's a state that we live in every day as a believer. It is a fullness of God. It's a death, burial, resurrection. It's in Christ. It's the grace of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us have that in our lives. We've got a reward in heaven. We're going to heaven. I'm in a funeral home right now. You can smile. You can shout a little bit. We've got a reward. Are you happy? Yes, I am. You've got a fullness of God. You've got the Trinity. A lot of people don't have the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know what? When you got the Trinity, you got God's grace. When you got the Son, you got the salvation that indwells in you. And when you got the Holy Spirit, you got the power, Christian. You've got all three of the Trinity. Amen. You got a bunch of believers. You got a church you belong to. You're walking with those believers daily. Visiting with them, fellowshipping. You've got a fullness of God. Guess what? When you got saved, you got it all. It don't get no better than that. It doesn't take anything else. I don't have to go to seminary and be a theologian. I don't have to try to study a bunch of books. I know what the Bible says. When I got saved, God gave it to me. He gave all that to me. He gave it to you. He gave it to me. Each and every one of us. What we do with it is the key. You know, when you think about that sometimes, the biggest thing is when it comes to the battle and the warfares, that's where that world's struggling. That's where they're struggling. That's where they're fighting daily without that fullness of God. Back and forth in that battle and that warfare. The sights, the sounds, there's everything out there. That's what I want to be full with. I want the best of this or the best of that. I want to be full of this and full of that. Well, there's a lot of people that are full of it. I've talked to you there. They can tell you that too. But the thing about it is you've got to remember, when you got saved, Christian, you got it all. We did. We got it all. There's nothing left out. God didn't leave anything out. when He sent His Son to die on the cross, He shed the blood when He had the grace and the love and mercy for us. And when you accepted it, you got the Holy Spirit, whether you liked it or not. So you got the fullness of God. You got the fullness of joy. You got the fullness of blessing. You got the fullness of the wisdom. And you for sure got the fullness of God. Last one here. Ephesians 5, verse 18. You're in Ephesians. Let's look at 5:18. Ephesians 5:18 says, and most of us probably quote this, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is a little bit, where is excess, but he filled with the Spirit." Excess is a lot. Excess is a lot. So guess what, Christian? You're filled with the Spirit. You've got a fullness of the Spirit, whether you like it or not. You've got a dose of it, whether you like it or not. You got it. You got a fullness of joy, fullness of blessing, fullness of wisdom, fullness of God, and guess what? Most of all, you got a fullness of the Spirit. Now, you can live in the natural, or you can live in the artificial. It's whatever you want to do. There's all things out there. There's they call it aesthetic legalism. Well, like the Pharisee, I've got the laws and I've got the books, you know, and I live by this and live by that, and I don't do that, Brother Ed, and you do this, and you shouldn't do that. Or you've got the other kind that says, wow, there's these unsolved mysteries of the world. There's just all kinds of things out there if we only could figure them out. Guess what? You got it when you got saved. You got the fullness of the Holy Spirit when you got saved, and that's all it takes. Now, how you abide in Him daily, how you live with Him daily, how you let Him control you daily, how much presence and time you spend with Him, that could probably be a little tough in that fullness. But it's up to you, Christian. Every one of these points that I gave you there are totally on target, totally on track, and each and every one of us in here today got them. When you got saved, if you tell me right now that you, if I ask you to raise your hand, could raise your hand, that you're saved, that means you got all five of these. And you should have a joyful song in your heart. You should have a joyful walk, a joyful step. You should live like you're a Christian there. You should be Spirit-filled and overflowing. You should be pleasing for God. Why? You've got a fullness of joy. You've got a fullness of blessing. Are you filling Him up to the edge? You got the wisdom, fullness of wisdom. You definitely got the fullness of God because He shed everything for you. And guess what? You've got the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but it's up to you. So if you can't answer all these faithfully and truthfully, if you can't really run down the list, I've got that, brother, I've got that, I've got that, brother, then let me ask yourself, what's the problem? Did you make that commitment? Did you make that sacrifice? To John 15:11, that very first point, is there a union? And are you abiding in it? Are you saved? Did you make that commitment? If you did, you got all these points. And then you may want to check each one of these and say, well, maybe I'm trusting in the world for my blessings. Maybe I'm trusting in the world for my wisdom. Maybe I'm just trusting in the world for my joy. Don't need to. Don't need to. Do you want to be satisfied? Do you want to satisfy those deepest needs? 5 points right here that the Scripture gives us to live our life by and satisfy the deepest needs. We don't need the world to do it. We just need to trust each and every one of them. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor here in just a little bit. He's going to give a chance for everybody to come to the altar. I encourage you right here, if I've hit something on your heart and you can't answer each one of these, maybe you want to think about that time that you know it, I made that commitment. Well, that's been several years ago, and well, we were doing this, and well, I think I did, but I don't remember getting the Spirit. Well, I don't seem to have the joys of Christians, some people do. I want to ask you, do you have the fullness of joy, fullness of blessing, fullness of wisdom, fullness of God? And do you for sure have that fullness of the Holy Spirit? If not, come down and see Pastor. Come see one of the ladies of the church. If you're a lady in the church, they'll visit with you. If you're a Christian, maybe it's lacking. Maybe you didn't quite get that glass filled up. Maybe it's not quite full to the brim. Maybe them blessings aren't there. Maybe there's not that joyful step in your heart. But it should be, because each and every one of us got the same on that same day. Pastor.